I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Stephen Dorlant, a 19-year veteran of the natural product industries. He has owned a health food store, performed over 10,000 live blood cell consultations as a clinical nutritionist, and formulated his own line of dietary supplements. His products are sold by practitioners, MDs, chiropractors, and health food stores. Stephen's writing has appeared in Clinical Psychiatric News, Eboristeria Dormani, Neurology Today, and Natural Products Marketplace. His first book, Dr. Gourd, was published in March 2010. Stephen can be seen on YouTube as the Angry Nutritionist. His Twitter handle is Dr. Gourd. Stephen graduated with a BA degree from Florida State University in 1976. After college, he worked 2 years as a high school teacher. Then he relocated to the West Coast, where, in his own words, he stumbled upon the medical field. At that time in Los Angeles, it was easy to get a temporary job in the medical field if you could speak Spanish. Since I needed a job and I spoke Spanish fairly well, I took advantage of the opportunity. I didn't know it at the time, but that twist of fate turned into my life's career. Stephen proceeded to work in the medical field for 10 years in a variety of positions, including medical assistant, surgical technician, and biofeedback therapist. In the early 1990s, Stephen became interested in alternative medicine for treatment of AIDS and substance abuse, the two biggest health challenges of the time. In 1992, he opened a health food store in Hollywood, California. Being the epicenter for AIDS in the United States at that time, Hollywood was one of the best places one could be to learn about underground and esoteric natural medicine. Stephen lives in Los Angeles, California, with his wife, Leonora, a practicing neurologist, and their daughter, Dasha, a college freshman. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Stephen, and I look forward to hearing about herbs used for diabetes. Now, first, Stephen, what is the diabetic conspiracy?
The diabetic conspiracy involves the ADA, the American Diabetic Association, and they should be, since they are tax exempt, helping to cure or reduce diabetes, when actually they're kind of promote the spread of diabetes through being sponsored by pharmaceutical companies and not being open or not promoting in any way people who have other answers for diabetes. So the conspiracy is that they're, on one hand, they want you to come to them with your diabetes questions. On the other hand, they're kind of directing you in a nefarious way to the pharmaceutical companies.
I see the same thing with cancer. And I told you I'm a 36-year lung cancer survivor that was given 6 months to live. And so I used all natural, non-invasive alternative interventions. And I see so much of this chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation, which is useful for maybe three types of cancer, and the rest of them, it doesn't really do much. But they continue to push that because it's what the doctors learn, I guess, and it's also a multi-billion-dollar industry. But there are many brave and great physicians nationally that are working with natural, non-invasive interventions and having a lot of success, but they're harassed usually when they, because they are successful. So you're right.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, that there are many doctors willing to try anything that really helps. And sometimes people get the attitude like, you know, all the doctors are against us and some kind of conspiracy with all the doctors. But actually there are many that, you know, that are open to other ways. And regarding the diabetes, there's a one doctor who's a little bit well known is a Dr. Furman,
mm-hmm.
and he's a colleague of Dr. Oz, I believe. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, he has cured several people from diabetes, and I'm sure there's many that he has not cured, but there definitely have been some that he has completely got them off of insulin and so on. But when he wanted to write a paper on that, and he submitted it to the ADA because they asked him to write a paper, and when he submitted that paper, they rejected it because they did not want the people to know that it is possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A person has to be motivated, you know, number one, it's not just take a natural medicine or pharmaceutical medicine, but you have to be motivated. But if you are, there's really hope. But, you know, the ADA just says, if you have diabetes, you have it for life, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a death sentence, so better get used to it, you know. But those who want to can get off of it, and it's been done. And Dr. Furman is one doctor who's done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was diagnosed borderline diabetic, and this was probably 30 years ago, and my blood sugar went way, way, way up, and I craved sugar. One night, I sat and ate 50 Reese's peanut butter cups, and the next night, I ate 50 more of the little ones, and I couldn't
wow.
get them unwrapped quick enough to eat them. I just was craving sugar, and I went to the university the next day, and I was so dizzy and confused, I couldn't think of my students' names. And I made an appointment, and by the time I got to the doctor, my blood sugar was still way over 200, and that was a week or so later. And when I was going home, I stopped at the health food store, and my friend Ann was telling me about glucose tolerance factor chromium, which I had never heard of because it wasn't taught in nursing. And she said it would stabilize the blood sugar. So I came home and I looked in my nursing books, nutrition book, and sure enough, there it was. And I used that, and then my blood sugar stayed down stable, and I could eat pretty much what I wanted to eat. And then after, I think, 20 years, the doctor told me that there was never any problem anymore.
Great.
He was doing the 3 months and all. So that worked for me. And
I bet you're not eating 50 Reese's peanut butter cups anymore.
Well, I'm not, but I did up until about 2 years ago, and then I decided that sugar really was not good for you, and so I stopped all sugar, so I don't eat anything, any simple carbohydrate anymore.
How about the bitter chocolate?
No, I don't eat that either.
That one you may be able to tolerate. It doesn't taste that sweet, though. You know, a lot of people, they eat chocolate, like the Reese's peanut butter have a lot of chocolate. They
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
think they're getting chocolate, but mainly it's the sugar that they're getting from it. There's
mm-hmm.
not much chocolate there, really.
Oh.
But if you have a little bit of bittersweet chocolate, like 70%,
mm-hmm.
it's actually a little, you know, kind of healthy.
Mm-hmm. I probably would get dizzy at this point if I ate very much sugar, because the last time I tried it, I hadn't had any for, you know, several months, and it made me lightheaded. I don't know why, but I just, yesterday I was invited out to an Easter dinner, and they had a whole table of desserts, and they smelled so good. But I wasn't tempted. I did not eat any of it. So now, Stefan, you say that there is a plant that's made into an injectable form and used to control diabetes in China. Can you tell us about this?
Sure. That plant is a vegetable called bitter melon. And I even wrote a book about bitter melon called Dr. Gourd, because bitter melon is in the gourd family, or the squash family. But this particular gourd, its Latin name is Corantian.
Mm-hmm.
And Corantian literally means lowers blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
If you take other plants, like famous, you know, medicinal foods, like, say, garlic, for example,
mm-hmm.
good for circulation in the heart. But its name literally means spear. And ginkgo, there are a lot of people take for the brain. That literally means silver apricot.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular vegetable literally means lowers blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, in China, they have bitter melon available, and they use it even in hospitals for food in the hospital, tablets, capsules, and they have injectable. And the injectable bitter melon is used like one would use insulin, but they also use it intramuscularly for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They use it for breast cancer, prostate cancer, leukemia, and this is actually in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's used. So this one vegetable, I think, really deserves the name Dr. Gourd because it's really a medicinal food, and a lot of people in the U.S. still have never heard of it before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned chromium, and there's other foods and plants like fenugreek and nopal cactus and cinnamon, many other foods that people say, you know, help diabetes
mm-hmm.
or lower blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But the only one that literally in its botanical name means lowers blood sugar is this one, the bitter melon.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have many people that come and get the chromium?
Chromium, not so much anymore, although
no.
when you, because it was more popular, I think, maybe 10 or 20 years
mm-hmm.
ago,
right.
but
mm-hmm.
you will still find it in almost all of the combination products for diabetes.
Oh.
Usually mm-hmm. you'll find chromium, and also you'll find bitter melon. You'll also find some other
mm-hmm.
ingredients. So you won't find it so much by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, chromium is great for the pancreas, you know, the main gland involved in diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think people also were using it for weight loss at one time.
Oh, yeah, a particular form of chromium called picolinate.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was used more for weight loss and not diabetes, and I'm not sure the difference in the two chromiums, but,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the more older chromium was for diabetes,
right,
I mean, that was the
right.
more naturally extracted one. And the picolinate, I think, was actually a pharmaceutical brand of chromium.
Oh, mm-hmm. Why is it, Stefan, that the healthy seem to get healthier and the sick seem to get sicker?
I think because the healthier are usually motivated and they will hunt down and try out things to make them more healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like we were talking earlier, you know, about the thinking positive about 2012. But like if you think in a negative way, then you're going to like breed negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get used to being sick, you just get sicker.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that, well, you, as you know, I'm sure from your years and, you know, with patient contact and
mm-hmm.
so on, there's so many people who really do not want to get well.
Right, right.
There's just too many, like, secondary gain. They get a paycheck for being on disability,
mm-hmm.
or they have something to complain about, or they're really lazy or don't want to do much in life anyway. So, you know, it's not everybody, of course,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people, I hate to even say the percentage, are like that. And it's a shame. But if you really want to be healthy, especially now with, you know, the internet, and you can really get a lot of good information.
Mm-hmm. I think the secondary gain from being sick is important, and it was so important that back years ago, they developed what was called the patient role. And I remember one of them was being exempt from daily activities, and they developed the dimensions of the patient role, and one of them was that you got reward for being in that role.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Right. Now, Stefan, what are the top three anti-diabetic foods, and why don't people eat these?
Okay, the first one, I'm going to say the bitter melon again, because I think you can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
Bitter melon is not eaten because either people don't know about it, or when they do hear about it, they hear that it's bitter, and they're scared of, you know, eating anything that's bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a lot of people drink coffee, which is bitter, and they drink beer, which is bitter, so it's kind of hypocritical to be that way. But anyway, many people are scared of it, or they don't know it. Another great diabetic food is the avocado.
Oh.
And avocado, a lot of people will not use because they're scared of the fats in avocado.
Oh.
Because they think, oh, well, my gosh, you know, I'm diabetic, I'm too fat, and I can't metabolize fat. I better not eat any avocado because it's fat. But, of course, the omega-3 in avocado does not really make you fat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other great one is the nopal cactus, which I mentioned also earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And like bitter melon, a lot of people don't eat that because they never heard of it. Or it has sort of an ethnic stereotype on it, coming from Mexico, and some people say, well, they don't want, you know, any kind of Mexican food that's supposed to be medicinal. They're leery to try it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've even thought about writing a book on racism in ethnic foods, that many people will not try a lot of healthy foods just because of, you know, they come from a certain culture that they don't know or they don't like. But luckily, that's one thing that's definitely improving. You know, there's more, like, foodies out there and people, gourmet cooks at home, and people are trying more fruits and vegetables and exotic fruits and exotic vegetables. So I think that's changing, but still up until now, that's really impacted a lot of the choices people have made in, you know, eating certain foods or not eating certain foods for diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the bitter melon really bitter?
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it?
It really is bitter, but you have to treat it like, well, just think of Confucius. You know, he wanted balance in everything. So when you make bitter melon, a dish with bitter melon, it should be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So you add maybe a sweet squash, or you add string beans, or a curry sauce, or whatever. You balance it, and it's just fine. It's not so strikingly bitter. But some people, they hear, oh, bitter melon is good for diabetes. I'm going to run out and get some and eat it. But just by itself, for most people, it is too bitter.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And will those things then often keep people from having to go on insulin?
Oh, yeah. If they're not on insulin already, I would say at least 70% of the people will not have to go on insulin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People who are on insulin, the percentage is a lot lower, and that's going to depend really a lot on their other lifestyle things, like, you know, exercise and mental attitude and stuff like that. But yeah, many people who are like pre-diabetic, if they take the bitter melon, they'll never become insulin dependent.
Oh, that's great. Right. Makes it easy for people, because exercise requires a certain discipline of doing it every day, but more and more, the research is showing how important exercise is for many diseases in terms of prevention. So that's good. Then, Stefan, why is breakfast the most important meal for the diabetic?
I think because you can choose to have a balanced breakfast, and that will carry over the whole day. Diabetes is sort of an imbalance in a very simple way of looking at it. And so if you have, for breakfast, an imbalanced breakfast, and by that I mean one type of food, even if that one food is, let's say, organic oatmeal, but it's still not balanced in terms of, you know, the protein, carbohydrates, and vegetable, then the imbalance you already had with diabetes, and now you're just feeding your imbalance with more imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have a balanced breakfast, and I usually recommend like a mini dinner, then the chances are that you're not going to have so many cravings for like junky food, or you're not going to like overeat later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start with, oatmeal, or let's say a coffee and a donut, and later on you have all these cravings and you eat too much and you get fatter and your diabetes gets worse. A lot of times, if you had a good breakfast, you would have prevented a lot of those problems.
Stefan, how do doctors go about diagnosing diabetes, and how have they done it in the past, and is it different than how they do it now?
Yes, it's different now. Well, of course, the oldest doctors would use, like, a pulse test, and now we use for most people, they use a glucose test, how much glucose is in the blood. But there was a time when doctors would actually drink patients' urine.
Really?
And, yeah, the sweet, the urine, what they would say, well, they're diabetic.
Hmm.
So I'm glad I'm not a doctor phase right now.
Right, right. Hmm. I'd never heard that.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Yeah.
Right, yeah. Stefan, is there anything else you would like to say before we look at your services and your book and how people can reach you?
I would just like to tell people that no matter what condition they may have, health type condition, whether it's diabetes or cancer or overweight or whatever, that if they can just start with step one, they can get big improvement. It's like moving a big rock.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't make that rock budge, but once you get it to move a little bit, then it's not a problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's just, they need to start with a small step and start now and don't, put off, decisions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, after this next cigarette or after this next chocolate cake, I won't have any. But just don't do it now. And when you see somebody, let's say you see a famous actor or actress and say, boy, I wish I had that body or whatever, then if you really want to be like that, then you should do what they do, because they're not abusing their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get these great bodies just by accident.
Right.
They're usually working at it, and if you work at it too, you can have that also.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So health is available. It's out there. There's information everywhere. A lot of support groups of every kind, so it just have to start.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Then, Stefan, would you tell us about your services and your book and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. First of all, I can be reached via email at angrynutritionist@gmail.com. Also, I'm on YouTube as The Angry Nutritionist. I have some videos there, one which is on diabetes. My handle for Twitter is Dr. Gord, and Dr. Gord is the name of the book that I mentioned before, the book on bitter melon. And that book can be bought at Amazon.com, or I have a website because I have also some other supplement products, and that website is astral-natural.com.
Would you spell that out for the
sure.
listeners?
Astro is ASTRAL-NATURAL, astronatural.com.
Great, good. And you want to tell us a little bit about Dr. Gord?
Sure. I mentioned about the diabetes and bitter melon, but I was fascinated when I was researching for the book on gourds. And I would now say after my research that the reason we have civilization is because of gourds, because the biggest change that occurred, I think, in our evolution was from the hunter-gatherer to the city or village dweller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to make that change, people had to have storage vessels. You had to be able to store food, and gourds were used for that, storing mm-hmm. water. Like if you think about the pottery from ancient Greece, it looks sort of like a gourd because they copied the gourd.
Mm-hmm.
And the gourds were used for transportation of the food. They were the first religious icons for gourds, the first cups and bowls and saucers. The first prosthesis, the gourd, when they did the trepanation
mm-hmm.
In the brain, after they cut a hole in the skull, they would put a piece of gourd. Into the brain.
Hmm.
The first musical instrument, I shouldn't say the first, but some of the early instruments were gourds,
mm-hmm.
like the maracas today.
Mm-hmm.
Some religions, Taoist religion, for example, believe that the world came from a gourd, and the gourds were probably the first domesticated plant
mm-hmm.
Way before rice and wheat were
mm-hmm.
domesticated. But gourds were domesticated for use, not only for eating, but, for utility.
Mm-hmm.
So I could really go on and on and forever, I think,
mm-hmm.
about that. Not only bitter melon being a gourd, but the gourd family itself is so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, Stefan. It's been interesting, and I know it will be helpful to those who have diabetes or those who want to prevent diabetes to hear about natural ways that they can deal with this. So I thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Nice sharing some time with you.
And you too, Stefan.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. I invite you to join me in reading the new fall issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. This issue, like the fall issue last year, focuses on inspirational cancer stories. Several children with leukemia were included, and one I especially liked was Christopher, age 9, who was described by his friends as the type of friend everyone would want. Smart, loyal, brave, funny, and always a good sport. He was diagnosed with leukemia at age 3 and had a recurrence at age 8. Unfortunately, Christopher died. It is always a pleasure for me to read about Fran Dressler and Sharon Winters, who were also included in last year's fall issue. Fran has been cancer-free for 11 years, and wrote Cancer Smancer about her survival. She also started the Cancer Smancer movement and foundation that emphasizes preventing cancer. Sharon Winters, another long-term cancer survivor, talked about the influence of the environment on cancer development and how to prevent it using information from her book, co-authored with Burton Goldberg, titled Survival: A Family Guide for Thriving in a Toxic World. For me, this book was the most comprehensive guide currently available. I was also interviewed for this issue, and you will find more about my story that is being published in a book on surviving lung cancer that will be available for purchase next year. Beyond the many interesting stories of cancer survivors and sufferers, I was interested in information on Farmageddon, about the war on American family farms, and another on local food movements, both which resonated with me. Also of interest was the interview with Peter Shankman, who is the founder of HARO, Help a Reporter Out, the world's largest free source repertory. If you are looking for speakers, guests, for radio shows, conference, or whatever, or if interested in being considered as a speaker guest, this is the place to be. I have used the service and am very pleased with the results obtained. And last, a mention of the music of 2-time Grammy Award winner Jemmy Warnes. You will not want to miss these and other stories in the fall issue of A Distinctive Style magazine, available at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Stacy Grieve, has helped people with their health concerns for almost 18 years. Until 2007, she owned a complementary health care clinic in downtown Toronto, Canada, and was an award-winning registered massage therapist. Now retired from massage and clinic ownership, she has worked as a wellness consultant, helping people understand and implement natural and non-invasive healing modalities to ensure the best results. Stacy is the author of Why Are You Weighing? It's Not the Food That's Making You Fat. Using her own method, Stacy shed 135 pounds and kept it off for over 6 years now. More information is available at www.richerlivingnow.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Stacy, and I look forward to hearing about help for those diabetics suffering from diabetic peripheral neuropathy. Now, first, Stacy, tell us about the product that helps diabetics with neuropathy.
We have a product called a MagStep, which is a magnetic insole, and it's very, very different from any of the other ones out on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And what this insole seems to do is open up the circulation flow to the feet, which therefore then ends up helping the diabetic have a lot more comfort in their feet. So, you know, cold, blue, sore feet with the use of these insoles, not in one day, but over the mm-hmm. course of about 6 weeks, there was a study done. These insoles will turn cold, blue, sore feet into warm, pink, rosy feet, which, you know, is just obviously a lot more comfortable for the sufferer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the decreased circulation that seems to cause the problems with the nerves, the pain and the discomfort that diabetics feel in their feet. And it's not the same for all of them. Some of them feel cold, aching, burning. Some of them is cold, some of it feels burning, sometimes it feels numb, and sometimes it just feels painful. It's different in each person, but the cause is all the same, that there's been a lack of circulation to the nerves, and the nerve fibers are literally starving, and they then end up getting upset, and it's through our nerves that we feel anything, of course. So it can mm-hmm. be a very, very debilitating condition for diabetics, as you know. You know, mm-hmm. best case scenario is there's some pain and discomfort. Worst case scenario is the diabetic ends up having to have their toes, their feet, or sometimes even their entire lower limb
mm-hmm.
amputated. So, mm-hmm. and these insoles have been proven in a study done by a very well-noted American neurologist did a study a few years ago, and he determined that 90% of the people who were wearing these insoles over an extended period of time had significant reductions in their symptoms. So,
mm-hmm.
called MagSteps, and mm-hmm. they're put together by a company called Niken, a Japanese company. And anybody who's interested in learning a little more about them could see them at a website called www.richerlivingnow, Richer, R-I-C-H-E-R, Living, L-I-V as in Victor, I-N-G, now, N as in Norman, O-W.com.
Mm-hmm. And then how do the insoles actually help circulation?
You know, that's a good question, and believe it or not, nobody knows for sure. That's one of those sort of mysteries of the universe. There's a couple of different theories on it related to the fluids in the body, related to the amount of iron in the blood. Then you can take it even deeper and go into more of a subatomic, sort of a quantum physics thing, too, where then there's a whole different theory on it. So nobody really knows for sure how magnetism works mm-hmm. in a number of different areas. They just know that it does work.
Mm-hmm.
Are these similar then to the magnets that people used to, I think they put them on their arms or something?
There's different kinds of magnets. Not all magnets are created equal. That's the first thing you need to know. And what I don't want any of your listeners to do is to run out and grab a couple of their fridge magnets and stick them in their socks and think mm-hmm. that's going to give them relief. Because, again, not all magnets are created equal. And a fridge magnet, or most of the magnets we use for around the house for various different things, are actually quite weak. Now, these insoles, the interesting thing about them is they're actually, in terms of the energy and the hertz and all that kind of stuff that comes off of them, they're actually exact duplications of the Earth's magnetic field.
Oh.
And so one of the theories on why magnetism works so well for us is that it reconnects us with this energy, the Earth's magnetic field, which actually works to nurture us and support us. And our bodies are used to using magnetic energy, the Earth's magnetic field, every day, just the same way our bodies are used to using gravity. We get out of bed every morning, we don't think about how gravity is affecting us, but, you know, it definitely plays mm-hmm. a role in our lives. And magnetism does as well. And so, unfortunately, though, with modern-day living, we're so disconnected from the Earth's magnetic field. We're shielded from it whenever we're indoors. We're shielded from it whenever we're in front of, you know, computers or anything that we plug in, computers, appliances, you know, televisions, all that kind of thing is all shielding us from it. And by reconnecting with the Earth's magnetic field, whether artificially through, say, the use of an insole or whether naturally going out and actually spending some time in nature with your feet firmly planted on the ground,
mm-hmm.
seems to have some really profound effects on physical health and wellness,
mm-hmm.
certainly beyond just diabetic peripheral neuropathy, but I know that's the topic we're covering
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, how do people use these?
They're very, very simple to use. They come in small, medium, and large, and then various different sizes are marked on them. And you just take a pair of scissors, and there's lines marked on them depending on the size of your shoe, and you just trim them down to fit to customize mm-hmm. them to fit your shoe perfectly. Now, for the diabetic in particular, and with the study that was done, these people were basically wearing the insoles for approximately 24 hours a day, with the exception perhaps of bathing. So during the day, they would wear them inside their shoes, or if they were inside the house, inside a pair of slippers. And then at night, they were asked to sleep with them actually inside a pair of socks, so that their feet were in contact with the magnets basically 24 hours a day. So you don't have to change what you're doing. You just do what you're doing. You just have these insoles inside your shoes or your socks. So it's very, very easy. You don't have to carve out extra time in order to make this work.
Now, can people use these if they're in late-stage neuropathy?
They can be used at any stage. Now, obviously, the later stage, it's going to take longer for the results to come around. But there's no contraindications to them at all in terms of wearing the insoles and the neuropathy. They can only help, and they can't hurt. Now, having said that, here's a little caveat about them. Just the same way, and I like to draw the example or use the example of, you know, Carl, if you've been sitting on the floor for a little while, say you've been sitting with your legs crossed on the floor, and then you go to get up, your leg is asleep. And you know, as your leg starts to wake up, as the blood flow is returning to your leg, sometimes your leg can actually be a little bit more uncomfortable as your body is restoring the circulation, and then eventually you start to feel, you know, A-okay again. Well, for some people, a small group of people, the same thing can actually happen with the insoles. They perceive that there's actually more pain when they start to use them, and there is, and because exactly that, the nerves are waking up, so they're starting to fire more efficiently and more effectively, so they're picking up more things. But I always counsel my people, just ride it out. Drink a lot of water. That seems to help. Drink as much water as you can and continue to wear the insoles, and that extra discomfort will subside. Now, I can't tell you how long that's going to take. It's a very individual thing. It seems to vary from person to person, and most people don't experience this, but some people do. So I just wanted to mention it so that if any of your listeners did decide that they wanted to try them, and they did sort of on a short-term basis feel that things were getting worse, that they know that is just part of the process.
So there isn't any diabetic that shouldn't use these?
The only people who have to be careful with the insoles are people, and there are a few diabetics out there, who use a pacemaker. Because a pacemaker runs on a magnetic charge, there's actually a little magnet in the pacemaker. You need to just be careful that the insoles aren't ever up around the chest. As long as they're kept down near the feet, there's no problem. For someone who was really concerned, what we recommend that they do if they wear a pacemaker is to call the manufacturer and ask what the strength of the magnet is in their pacemaker. The strength of a magnet is referred to as a Gauss, a G-A-U-S-S. So as long as the Gauss of the pacemaker, the strength of the pacemaker's magnet, is stronger than our magnets, there won't ever be a problem. And if there was, if it did turn out that the pacemaker magnet was weaker than one of ours, then the instructions would be just to make sure that the insoles are kept down around the lower part of the body and not brought up near the chest.
Now, are these relatively new? Because I've not heard of them before.
No, actually, they've been around for 35 years.
Oh, they have.
They have. And interestingly, it's a Japanese company that develops them and manufactures them. And the original founder of the company went door-to-door selling these insoles. They were the original product the company made 35 years ago, and he went door-to-door selling these insoles to his Japanese neighbors. And in the first 4 years in Nikon's history, Nikon had the fastest startup rate of any company, growth rate of any healthcare company in Japan, and they continue to hold that record 35 years later. So they're a very popular item. They're also great for people who aren't diabetic. You know, just to make sure, I'm not a diabetic, but my first experience with any of the Nikon magnetic products was a pair of the insoles, because I used to do massage therapy, and I was standing, you know, 12, 14 hours a day, and my feet were achy at the end of the day, and someone had suggested that these insoles might help me with my just, you know, tired, achy feet, and I started wearing them, and from the first day I wore them, my feet never ache. I never get that sort of burning feeling in my feet as long as I have my insoles in, regardless of how long I stand. Yeah, the Asians believe that the feet, that the whole body is represented in the feet. That's the basis for that modality known as reflexology, where they can treat sort of anything, any area of your body through your feet. And so by stimulating the feet and ensuring that the feet are healthy, it actually just seems to have a reflex effect on the entire body, and, you know, you just feel better generally.
Now, did they use a control and all when they did the research?
Yeah, they did. It's a double-blind, placebo-based study. So there was the people were divided into two groups.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew which group that they were in, and mm-hmm. the people in the placebo-based group, they were given an insole that looked identical to the magnetic insole.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the study, which I believe was done, it was carried out at 83 different hospitals by the department heads,
mm-hmm.
and was led by a fellow named Michael Weintraub.
Mm-hmm.
And 90%, like I say, 90% of the people had results. And Dr. Weintraub was quoted as saying he firmly believed that the 10% who didn't get the results, if the study had gone on for another couple of weeks, that they would have achieved the results they were looking for, too.
Oh. And you may have said, but how long then do they usually think that it takes before you start getting results?
Again, it can vary from person to person.
Oh.
Generally speaking, the rule of thumb is the longer you've had the problem, the longer it's going to take to get the results.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're a brand new diabetic and you get the insoles in your shoes, ideally they could be, or theoretically they could be used for prevention too, so that you don't end up having the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got, you know, black, almost due to be amputated feet,
mm-hmm.
it's going to take a few weeks. And in fact, I would even hazard that and say it's going to take a few months. But from the minute you get those insoles into your shoes, your circulation is starting to change for the better rather than for the worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that this has been around so long, because I have known people that had amputations, and it's been in the last 10, 15 years. So it must be either there's a lack of education or a lack of confidence or something that doesn't get the product to the people that need it.
That's a good point, and I really do think it's a lack of education on the doctor's standpoint. And, mm-hmm. you know, doctors are very busy. They've got a lot on their plates. There's new drugs, new everything coming out every day. In fact, you know, I sometimes feel bad for them. I don't know how they can possibly keep up with all the changes going
mm-hmm.
on. Unfortunately, because this is a one-time sale. You know, you buy the insoles, they're going to
mm-hmm.
literally last you forever unless the dog chews them up or something. But the energy in them, the magnetism
mm-hmm.
in them, it loses about 10% over 100 years. So you really are looking at a one-time investment. That's not the model that our medical system tends to run on these days. That model, our medical system, and by that I mean allopathic, the
mm-hmm.
you know, doctors, drug surgery, that kind of thing. Really, the model these days is more about let's get you going on a drug and keep you as a customer for life,
right. mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, solving your problem per se. And so there's just been a lot of there's been a lot of resistance from the medical community regarding something that, again, is a one-time purchase, you know, not a very expensive purchase at all,
mm-hmm.
and it just doesn't really fit the medical model. Now, this is a bit of an insight to some people, but medicine is a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business like everything else, and you know, if it can't sustain itself, if it can't earn the money, it isn't going to, you know, continue. So the drug companies in particular, they work very hard to ensure that, you know, they have customers for life, that they find a drug that works for somebody and they want to keep you on it forever. So
mm-hmm.
we have met with some resistance through that.
Mm-hmm.
The other area too is that magnetism in North America, anyway, magnetism is not taught to doctors in school. It isn't part of what they're taught and what they learn. So for a lot of doctors, you know, someone comes along and says, I've been using these magnets and they've been helping me. It just doesn't fit into what we call the doctor's
mm-hmm.
paradigm. It isn't
mm-hmm.
something they've been trained on. And unfortunately, in our litigious society these days, it can be very dangerous for a doctor to say to you it's okay to use something that he or she doesn't know anything about. Because if God forbid, you did have some kind of problem, which you wouldn't with this, but you
mm-hmm.
could with some other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you did have some kind of problem, the doctor could be in a position where, you know, you could technically come back and sue them and say, you know, you told me to use this and I had some problems. That wouldn't happen with these insoles. But,
yeah,
you know, so the doctor has to protect themselves legally first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's another issue. We very much, how we do our marketing is very much through word of mouth. So the idea, the theory being that, you know, if one diabetic uses them and they get results, chances are they know some other diabetics, you know, either through their doctor or through associations, you know, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and that the word would spread through that. So, and we do, the company does have, you know, hundreds and thousands of people whose health has been affected in a positive way, you know, through using the various Nikon products and technologies, certainly not just for diabetes, but
mm-hmm.
for,
mm-hmm.
you know, pretty much a myriad of just about anything. So,
right. Now, you say they're relatively inexpensive. Can you give us a general idea?
Sure. They basically go from between $60 and $70 for a pair. And like I say, unless the dog chews them or you lose one, that's an investment that you're not going to have to repeat for many, many years. For $60 to be $60 to $70 to be able to save a pair of feet, I mean, that's you know, phenomenal.
Right. Then, Stacy, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your services, products, your new book, and how people can reach you?
Magnets, so here's just a little caveat. Our products don't heal or cure anything. I just want to be clear on this. The products don't heal or cure anything, including the insoles. They don't heal or cure anything. But what they do is they seem to allow your body an improved ability for it to heal and cure itself.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Carl, the body is a healing machine when it's given the right set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And diabetes is not one of the right set of circumstances. But introducing the magnetism to the feet seems to then allow the feet to have a better set of circumstances where the body can then work on, you know, opening up the circulation channels, restoring the color, you know, decreasing the discomfort, all that sort of thing. And just as a side note for anybody who's listening, the magnets have also, by the same neurologist, Dr. Weintraub, also proved that the magnets, not the insoles, but a wrist wrap, also work very, very effectively for people who suffer with carpal tunnel syndrome or any kind of repetitive strain injury. So there's another application for how the magnets could work. Personally, in my own life, I live in a pretty much fully, what we call a wellness home, a fully magnetized home, so to speak. I sleep on a magnetic sleep system. I wear magnetic jewelry. I have the insoles in my shoes. And then if I do have an area that gets a little tense or a little sore or I injure myself, then I use some spot-specific magnets, you know, that I can be wearing during the day and all the time to just add a little extra oomph to the area. So I encourage people to really take a look at magnets. And again, just remember that they're not all created equal. And this company, Niken, they're affiliated with the University of California at Irvine's Medical Center. We do a lot of research with them, as well as some diagnostics. We donated an MRI machine to them, that kind of thing. So we're very affiliated with the medical community and work as much as we can with them.
Then, Stacy, would you tell us about your services, products, your new book, and how listeners can reach you?
Sure, thank you. Well, through the website, any of the products, that if you want to explore what Niken has to offer, and really Niken is the world's only what we call holistic wellness company. There's plenty of companies out there who make, you know, a good supplement, maybe a good water system, maybe a good air system, you know, individually, but we're the only one that takes this comprehensive approach to your health. Because we believe it's never one thing that causes your body to break down, and it's rarely ever one thing that's going to restore you back to full health and wellness and vitality. So we take a multi-pronged approach. For instance, we start with addressing your sleep, because it doesn't matter what else you're doing in your life. If you're not sleeping properly, your body is going to start to have some problems. And diabetes, since that's the topic we're on today, there is a pretty growing body of knowledge that says that part of what's happening with the diabetic or what's leading to the pancreas not functioning properly in the case of a diabetic is actually poor sleep quality. So believe it or not, magnets can help non-invasively, non-toxically, can actually help to restore people's sleep. And that was very much my situation. I had a very serious weight issue and a very serious sleep problem that when we invested in the magnetic sleep system, the Niken magnetic sleep system, pretty much solved the problem for me, and it just has had a profound effect. It's also helped with my husband's sleep apnea. He has sleep apnea and he snores really badly. Sleeping on a magnetic sleep system has virtually eliminated that problem for him, which of course that's also helped with my sleep, because when you sleep next to a snorer, it's not fun.
Right.
By any means. So the website, again, that people can go and check it out and learn whatever they want to learn about this, read about how the insoles work and the various other products, is, again, Richer Living Now, www.richerlivingnow. So please take a look at that. You can check out all about what Niken's about. And really our mission is to help people discover a whole new way of living and then, you know, give them the opportunity to live it. And so really we're about helping people be the best that they can be, physically, emotionally, spiritually, the whole thing. So it's a very holistic approach to what's going on. As far as my book goes, my book is actually on a different topic, and that the book is called Why Are You Waiting? And waiting is W-E-I-G-H-T, and that was the story, really, of the changes that I had to make in my life in order to shed 135 pounds and keep them off. I've had the weight off now for 8 years. And for anybody who's interested in learning a little bit more about that, that can be found at a different website. And the website for this one is www.whyareyouwaiting.com. And weighting is weightging, so weight as in I need to lose or gain weight, that kind of weight. They can order the book through there, that kind of thing. And they're actually, the Neekin, just to tie it all together, the Neekin technologies played a huge role in my weight recovery. They know now, for instance, that if you don't sleep, one of the ways that your body gets messed up is through various different hormones, and a couple of those hormones are related to weight. And they didn't know that back when I was a kid. When I was an overweight little kid, no one knew that sleep quality played any role in weight at all. But they know that now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can improve your sleep quality, that's one of the first steps you can take towards improving your health almost really from pretty much any perspective, because 95% of the healing and repair that happens in the body happens when we're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting interrupted sleep, or you're a shift worker, or you're just, you know, suffer from any kind of insomnia or sleep challenges, working to improve that is just going to add a whole new dimension to your life. So
great. Well, thank you very much, Stacy. I've enjoyed this, and I know it will be helpful to those that have diabetes.
Great. Well, anybody, if they have any questions and they want to get a hold of me, they can also email me at Stacy, and that's S-T-A-C-E-Y, Stacy@richerlivingnow.com. And that'll come into me, and I'll be happy to answer any specific questions about, you know, any challenges anyone's having. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to hearing from some of your listeners.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
If you have missed any of my past shows, I would like to invite you to my website, where you will find them all. My website is www.holistichealthshow.com, and you will find the shows under the blog. The shows include series on wellness, such as dreams and dream interpretation, weight loss, yoga and meditation, and visualization and affirmations, a series on cancer, one on arthritis, one on low back pain, one on seasonal allergies, one on faith, healing, and spirituality, and one on the Ascension of 2012. The current series is on diabetes. The series almost always include only non-invasive, natural ways to deal with the health concerns being discussed, and include interviews with naturopathic physicians, nurses, and other experts, and some people who have successfully dealt with these problems. The series will be found in the archives and may be easier to locate through a Google search connecting the specific disease process with the Holistic Health Show. When I have time, I will try to identify on the site which months covered which topics. I also invite you to sign up for my free monthly email newsletter and review items for sale under the shopping tab. These include ebooks and a CD on smoking cessation. In addition, my last book published in 2009, titled Healthy Holistic Aging, is also available and provides information on how to live into old age free of chronic illnesses and prescribed medications, as I have done. Currently, I am completing a book on alternative treatments for lung cancer that will be available next year on this site, and a CD on stress management and sleep that will be available within a couple months. I'm also available for lectures and workshops, and samples of these are identified on my website. If you have ideas for series for the show, I would like to hear from you at carlhelvey@cox.net. I thank you for joining me today. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, host of the Holistic Health Show, wishing you a great week.